Yeah, good evening. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu, and is brought to you by Amstel Malta. Okay, a few announcements that I have to make, a few comments that I have to make. One is that I got a almost rock solid guarantee that I will have some giveaways to give you on this program. I think the week to Christmas. I'm a Hong Kong. I've gotten it almost tidied up. Now, of course, you know the sponsors of this program, so it gives you an idea of what you might get. And the manner will be arbitrary. There will be no. You could just call me, and I would just say, okay, you're my third caller, and therefore come and pick two cartons of this or one carton of that. Kelvin, if you're listening, I know your favorite brand is is amongst what is going to take place. So that's that. Then on Saturday, tomorrow, I have Esme Milajaja. She runs two restaurants in Lekki. So we're going to looking at the food business, you know, the dynamics, the new dynamics of the food business. It's taking a completely new dimension. Of course, thanks to COVID and thanks to the economy, it's taking a new dimension. So myself and Mrs. Milajaja will look at the new dynamics. She runs two. How she does it, I honestly don't know. Two in Lekki, you know. One is a switch, the other is forgotten. She runs two, sir. And then on Saturday, we are going to have Mr. Kunle Uthman. He calls himself Kunle Uthman Esquire. He's a lawyer, member of the Body of Benchers. And what we'll be looking at is, at the end of this white report, on this NSAS thing, what is the next way forward? What are we going to be doing next? So for the next 2-3 days, you are going to be in for a bit of rollicking time. Today, we are not going to talk politics or anything like that. I just want you to sit back and listen to my very good friend, Dolakwa Eno, who I'm meeting for the first time. And let me tell you, I didn't even know he was this tall. I thought he was an average height like Sherif and I, you know. And then I found myself looking at his belly button, and I said, "What's this? I didn't know you were this tall." He's coming from Rwanda, and all we want to do, I thought we'd use the advantage of him being in town to give us an idea of what Rwanda is all about. That's all. There'll be no politics. There'll be no asking this and that, whether democracy should be this or democracy. We have decided our own democracy, and we're at it. There might not even be that much comparison between Nigeria and Rwanda. I just want him to give us a picture. That is one country I wish to go. COVID or no COVID is one country I wish to go. And if I get stranded there, I know Dolakwa, I know at least he'll be able to feed me once a day. You know, but why is on a diet anyway? I mean, so Sherif, why are you giggling? we are both the same. We are both the same size. Both of us should go on a diet. So why don't you go on a diet? And I also have in the studio, looking at me from the corner, my madam of last week that I ran the program with. So that's what we are going to be doing today. Dolakwa, how are you?
Good morning, sir.
Morning. Good morning, yes. Good morning. Yeah, you look healthy. Look at your skin, Baba. Look. What?
Don't let it
deceive you. Okay, yes. First of all, let's even start with a simple thing, like what's the weather like in Rwanda? You know, towards that side of the world, sometimes it could be a bit more temperate. You have
cold?
To speak into the
cold,
mic,
cold, cold, cold.
Rwanda it's cold.
Cold.
So if I had
cold
to
as just kind of cold, a little bit colder than cold. Just, but after a while, you get used to it.
So if I have to go to Rwanda, one of the first things I need to do is get a cardigan.
Yes,
it will come in handy.
It depends on the season, but right now, presently. Yes. You need to get a cardigan.
Now, may I ask what you do in Rwanda?
Okay, so I'm a writer.
Yes.
I'm a writer and also a freelance. I'm also a freelance journalist.
Yes.
And I've been around for a while, writing for like 20 years. Mm-hmm. And 20 years, and I've been traveling to Rwanda since 2014.
Mm.
Apparently, I first of all made Rwandan friends here who live in Lagos.
Okay.
Before I started traveling to Rwanda. So, started traveling to Rwanda 2014, 2-3 times a year to cover events, because Rwanda is known for Rwanda basically focuses on, I don't want to go into terminologies, but mm. in a nutshell, what they do is one of the things they are good at is attracting organizers of events.
Of events, yes. Yes.
There's a terminology for it, but I won't go into that. Organizers of events who organize their events in Rwanda.
Mm.
People come for such.
Well, such, whether you use a technical word for
it's
it or not.
MICE. M-I-C-E.
M-I-C. Yeah, well, M-I-C. It's predicated on the environment. So let's take the environment one by one. Let's start with the usual one. Up NEPA! What's the power situation like in Rwanda?
That means I will have to compare.
No, just tell us whether power is regular. You can compare if you want. Yes.
Power is regular. It's regular. It's constant. If you don't have electricity, then that means your power credits, you've accepted your power credits.
So it hardly goes off?
Hardly. If it does, then that means there is a big issue and they are working on, and they've even informed you. That's their reg. They call them reg. Mm-hmm. That means the power authority in charge of electricity has already informed you, probably mm-hmm. via text message. And the longest that power has gone off, and it was the longest power has gone off, and it was something they were working on, has not been 24 hours.
Okay, I mean, so it's fairly regular and whatever. Anybody listening outside the shores of Nigeria will be wondering, how come the first thing this man is asking about is power? Because you know what power is like. Yeah, we don't need to stress that.
And the thing is, in simple economics, if you sort out power.
Yes.
Everything falls into line.
Falls into line.
There'll be productivity. Even if you don't understand simple economics, or economics is kind of alien to you, if you're in an environment where electricity is sorted, you would realize that everything you do, everything falls into place.
Into place.
Including your productivity.
What's the small scale business industry like in that? Do you have loads of like barbers and this and that? Okay. And then how organized are they?
Okay. The country is organized from top to bottom.
Wow.
That's how they are culturally. So imagine you having a system of governance that is more like your culture, centuries old. So if the current craze now is democracy,
mm-hmm.
and you want to implement your own form of democracy, it will just tweak it, put it into what is already structured, and everything falls into.
So do they have like 2-3 parties or something like that?
Politics. I don't want to get into politics.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't do politics in. I don't do politics about Nigeria or any other country.
I know, but I just want to know the structure they have on ground.
They have parties. But at the same time, everybody turns towards a party.
A party. Do they have a parliamentarian or what?
Okay. Before I answer your question, you mentioned something. You mentioned barbers.
Yes.
Okay. Let me make you laugh. A lot of barbers in Rwanda don't know what a generator is. You know what I mean?
They don't know what a better pass my neighbor is
because they don't need the generator. Because constant electricity is. Yeah. So that. So parliament about parliamentary about the parliament. I'm sure you must have read it, or you must have forgotten. Rwanda has the highest number of female parliamentarians in the world.
Female.
I think in the world is skewed towards 50-something% female, 40-something%
a male.
Yeah. So they pretty much. Now I'm not doing PR for Rwanda, no.
No.
I'm just saying it
the way it is. The way it is.
Is that straightforward?
So you have a pretty well organized
structured.
Do you know
when, if you want to take public bus, you know when your bus is coming.
Really?
There's no conductor to shout wale
change
in their language.
Egbe.
Or if there's no change, I would marry you and a woman together. No, they used to have something. They used to have something like that in the past. As I when I used to go 2014, 15 conductors, but now they don't have bus conductors. What they have is everything has gone digital.
What about minibuses?
That's what I'm getting to. Mm-hmm. Everything has gone digital. You have your card. You don't need a conductor. You have your card. You top up your card. If you are going to CMS or Mobile Yende, you just tap your card on the machine and you go in. You get to your bus stop, designated bus stops. Not that you want to stop somewhere. You get to your designated bus stop. You don't need to shout that.
Oh, wow.
I was looking for the water. I've forgotten. You don't need to shout, oh, wow. You just tap on the window or something, or you press the bell. Driver stops for you at the designated bus stop. You are late. Structured.
Mm.
So imagine.
But do they have minibuses?
Okay, so I've been back for some days, and I realized that we don't have kekemawas again on okadas in some places in VI.
Yes.
So what we have are minibuses. Now, do they have minibuses? No, but you have minibuses. Minibuses in Kenya called Mutatus. So in Rwanda, you have just standard
BRT. Your standard, okay.
Standard BRT buses and coastal buses. Coastal, the long 36, coastal buses, standard BRT buses, coastal buses.
Well, I'll still come to crime, but I'm wondering what the people are like.
Crime?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do crime. What's crime like?
Okay. Now, this is because living in a place that works, you understand what doesn't work in other places and why things are not working in other places.
Yes.
In a place where you have crime, that means they are not on top of their game. In a country where there is crime, that means whatever structure is in place is not effective. That means CCTVs are not working.
Mm.
That means, let's say, community policing or whatever is not the way it should be. Now, I'm not mentioning, I'm not comparing, but
yes,
you have a fair idea of what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
So I can leave my phones there. I can leave my phones in a public place, as that is forgetting to pick them up.
Yeah, you can. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And go back there in an hour's time and find it there. In almost all places, and find it there.
So it's generally crime, this low crime rate.
A funny example, 2014 December, I had to fly there to cover an event for me in Lagos. And at the one of their top hotels then. So I left my bag with a Kenyan friend. No, I wanted to go to the restroom. So I left my bag on my seat and I told my Kenyan friend, please watch over my bag. She just told me, Dolapo, this is not Nigeria.
Hey, Chineke.
This is 2014. So, do you get what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Wow. What does the rate of unemployment look like? Do you have...
I don't have... Okay. So, Rwanda is trying to be a middle-income economy.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of things they're trying to get right. And Rwanda is not a place that you go to and you figure out the country in a week from the tourist perspective, no.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place where you need to go to continuously and actually live there. So one of the mistakes Western media make is when they do this parachute journalism. They fly into a place, have no idea of the idiosyncrasies, do their reports and fly out. You get what I'm saying?
Mm.
So, back to your question. Obviously, there's unemployment everywhere.
Yeah.
Even just coming in some few days ago, it's what I've been seeing on the ground, it's not nice at all. So, there's unemployment everywhere. And there are a lot of policies the government is trying to put in place to mitigate unemployment to mitigate the unemployment levels and everything. And some that might take quite a bit of time since this program is just on a...
But what I'm saying is, look, anybody who comes into Lagos, drives through Broad Street, Marina, area boys here, beggars there.
Nothing like that.
Nothing like that there.
Obviously, there used to be, probably before I moved there, there used to be, but like I said, this place, if they find out that, if they decide, okay, this is not so good, this, I won't say an eyesore, but not palatable, like I said, they would find a solution for it. So basically, when like what you see here, beggars on the streets, hawkers, area boys. So you don't understand. When I'm saying the country is structured. I've not seen hawkers on the streets in like 3 years. I just saw them now. So you won't find things like that. There's a place where you find, when I mean structured, there's a place where you find people who hawk things, who sell things.
Maybe they clear the street downtown.
Yes, you find them there, you do all that. So in the past, and it's still what is in vogue, every 2-3 months, there's always a new development, okay? Change of plans to something.
Some Nigerians who live in some African countries always say that they feel some form of hostility towards them.
Rwanda, there is, historically, there is an interesting relationship between Rwanda and Nigeria. So, like I said, I'm a media person and all that, but I focus mainly on international relations and diplomacy, digital diplomacy and all that. So there's an interesting relationship between Nigeria and Rwanda, and it stems back to the role Nigeria played in the early 90s and in 1994 at the UN during the Rwandan genocide against the during the genocide against the Tutsis in 1994. So there's a big role Nigeria played at the UN via Ambassador Ibrahim Gambari. So that is one of the reasons why there's this brotherly relationship between Nigeria and Rwanda. That's government level. That's top level, and also
goes all the way down.
Now because of our entertainment industry.
They like Nigerian music there.
Jesus, I said Jesus. That's
yes. It's that's what they listen to. Who is the most famous artist to them?
Okay, so now I'm not into the new genre, but they listen to everybody. So basically, they listen to everybody. Like some weeks ago. So let me try and remember. Adekunle Gold was in town for a concert.
Yes.
A week later, someone called Omale. I don't know who Omale is. Omale was in town.
I do. He's a big musician.
Okay.
Yeah.
If he's big, how come I don't know him?
Adekunle, your old school, sir.
Yes, in town.
Yes, in town. Hey, Jassy. Hey, Jassy. Adekunle Gold was in town the following week, I think, Omale. The following week, someone called Rema. Is he Rema?
Yeah, Rema. He's big, too. He's very big.
Okay. Then, yesterday, I discovered, what's his name? Rikasani.
Are we talking about Nigerian musicians here? Or I don't know any of them.
So recently.
He would have taken me along.
That's how Nigerians are quite. I mean, Nigerian music.
But do they have their own music stars anyway?
Yes, they do.
What about Nollywood?
Okay, to answer your question for Nollywood, now imagine you trying to speak pidgin with a Rwandan and you think the person does not understand. Imagine both of us speaking pidgin English.
Yes.
And you think the Rwandan does not understand.
What? Don't they speak English?
But they do understand because they watch your Nollywood movies.
Nollywood movies.
So
Okay, this is Dolapo Aina. We're talking about Rwanda. We're staying out of the politics. We just want to have fun, you know, get a sense of what it's like there. It's the Daily Digest with Jimmy Diso, you know, brought to you by Amstel Malta. The numbers to call 0700-993-993-993 and the alternate line 01465-7190. Those who have the permission to call that number know themselves. We're going to take a short break right now. And after the break, we'll come, we'll take some of your calls, and then we'll continue with this discussion. The next one could jolly well be about football. So we'll be right back. Is that there's so many genres of music in our country today, and that makes me quite happy. And now that I hear that they are doing so, so well. But what about Davido? Is it Davido or Davido? Davido, right?
Anyhow you pronounce it. And those, obviously, those songs too are popular.
Davido, P-square. Davido. P-square. Oh, P-square.
Even I heard when the group you mentioned, when they were together, they were really popular in East Africa.
In East Africa.
Whiskey, they are all popular names.
By the way, the national language is English, right?
Nope. Anyway, I wrote a piece on it. I don't know if you've read it. So
no.
Okay. Let me break it down. So their mother tongue is a language called Kenya-Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
Kenya-Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
Their lingua franca is now English.
Is English.
Yeah, now English, used to be French.
Ah, okay.
And but the language most people, you would hear most Rwandans speak, whether they're educated or not, is usually Kenya-Rwanda.
Oh, okay.
That's the first, because they pride themselves in, let's speak our language, do you get it?
Mm.
But your typical average Rwandan, your typical educated Rwandan is multilingual.
It speaks English and French.
That's bilingual.
Ah,
when I say multilingual, I can speak 4, 5, 6, 7 languages now, depending on where he or she lived.
How many languages do you speak, Sharif?
One.
Which one?
English.
What about Yoruba?
Yoruba. So you're bi.
Yabai. They don't mean bisexual. I mean, they're bi.
He's married now. He's married.
How did bisexual get into it?
No, I mean, he looks embarrassed. What is that bi?
He's married.
He went into a state of panic.
Can we count pigeon?
Yes. Pigeon too. Because
I speak English.
The funny thing about pigeon is that pigeon is quite popular.
Yes.
In East Africa, we think it's a joke here.
Yeah.
But pigeon, people can get by if you speak pigeon to them in East Africa because they follow. We don't know how powerful our entertainment industry is.
Really.
Our entertainment industry has done what hardcore diplomacy.
Diplomacy couldn't do.
So, basically. Yes.
I don't know. We are miles ahead, even in movies.
Yeah.
We're miles ahead.
Yeah.
I want to keep to your promise that what I promised you, that we won't talk about politics and things like that. So if you want to relocate to Uganda, to Rwanda, this is the question I'm sure people have been waiting for. If you do want to relocate, you know, every Nigerian, I saw some video of them lining up at the embassy at Burkina Faso. So many of them that, you know.
Ouagadougou. They want to go to Ouagadougou.
Ouagadougou, yeah. Okay. You know, and so on and so forth. But so if you want to relocate, where do you start from?
From the Rwandan High Commission in Abuja.
Do you tell them specifically that you want to go?
I don't work for any Rwandan prosecutor. So normally, let's use another country. If you were thinking of relocating to Switzerland, you'd obviously go to their embassy and get all this information. So, to your question, the Rwanda has an High Commission in Nigeria, and it is in Abuja.
No, what I mean is, where anybody would know where to go. That's the place to go. What I'm just wondering is, do they have any provisions for people who want to relocate, not who want to visit, who want to relocate?
Definitely. Could you, every okay, every country has provisions for several things depending on how you want to come into the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
There could be tourism, tourist visits, there could be starting a business, there could be investors, whatever, there could be. So all countries.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking, if they have any of these things.
Definitely,
because
they
see,
definitely they do. Definitely
of all what do. We said, of mm-hmm. all what we've been saying this morning, mm. I know that the bulk of my listeners,
mm.
I can read their minds. I know them; they know me. One thing they'll be asking, oh, boy, I will go that country, go settle down, and I just want to know if you can't walk into the United States Embassy just and say, look, I want to go there and relocate, man.
For you to go to the U.S. Embassy and say what you just said, then definitely you've done your research.
Oh, God, tell me, how can I get to Rwanda? Ah. You either know what they will ask or you don't know. Ah.
You do your research. That's why you have Google.
I'm not doing research. I'm asking
you. You know what? This is the first time in like 3 years.
Yes.
There are some certain questions I've been getting since I came back.
Yes.
And I've not gotten those kinds of questions in like 3 years.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
I've been in a place where I've been in a place that is structured. You know what to do when you this need to get something
done. Well, you're back home now.
But I won't.
We ask questions. Yeah.
Jokes apart.
Yes. Best bet.
Yes.
I live there and I do my profession from there. Best bet for anyone. Get the address of the Rwandan High Commission in Nigeria and forward all your questions to the Rwandan High Commission. The High Commissioner in Nigeria is
okay, let's leave it because you don't seem to know where I'm coming from. I think you've been away for too long.
So I was told.
Yes, you've been away for too long. So you don't.
No. But the thing is, officially,
yes.
That's the best. That's the best.
Because one of the things I was going to ask is if there is any prospect of somebody going job hunting in that country, and would then get a work permit or something like that.
You must be for the way the world is going. You must be highly skilled to decide.
What are the kind of skills they might be looking for?
I can't rule off the top of my head.
Nurses?
I can't rule off the top of my head, but anyone interested with the question you just mentioned should just Google Rwandan immigration. Their websites, you get. Rwanda might be a country of 11, 12 million people, Alimashua local government, but when it comes to anything digital, they are...
They're miles ahead.
A lot of African countries. So, to your question, Google Rwandan immigration. Your first link will probably be the website. Everything you need to know is there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have time to Google and do that. So what will extract? You will not leave this place without me extracting something from
sir,
you.
I know how you work, and I also work like that. So it's going to be very difficult.
Okay, let's see. Our lines are buzzing already.
Yeah.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning.
And your guest.
Good morning.
Two questions. I think what Uncle Jimmy is trying to ask, I'm not sure, is like in the EU, you can leave England, go to Poland, and do whatever you need to do, work or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like that in Africa? Number two, is there anything you would say you miss in Nigeria or we do better in Nigeria? Thank you.
Yeah. You heard that?
Yes, I heard. To the last question, what do I miss? And of course,
the food.
Yeah, but you can always arrange that. There are Nigerian restaurants in
really
in Kigali.
Now you're talking.
There are Nigerian restaurants.
You don't miss the chaos.
No, I don't miss the chaos.
Nah, I mean, I will miss it though.
I don't miss the chaos. After a while, you realize that the chaos was one of the hindering factors. So I don't miss the chaos. But I came back to the chaos immediately. I landed. I knew, okay, yes, Motsidele.
It don't happen.
It don't happen. Disorderliness.
Okay, if policemen catch you for one way in Rwanda, can you roger?
How can you even do one way? I've not seen one. I've not seen one way in three in the years I've not been around.
There's a lot of discipline.
I saw one way. 10 minutes after
you landed here,
I elected.
Tell me about the social discipline that you do have there.
Like I said, it's structured. There's this lingo. I don't know if we've changed this now. There's this pidgin lingo here called lau lau. You make noise.
Yes.
Why should you make noise? It's an East African thing. You have money. Why should you make noise? Why should you? Probably the Congolese will do it because Congolese and Nigerians almost the same mentality. Different thing is. They are Francophone, we're Anglophone. But in East Africa, generally, you don't show off, you don't make noise. You rather walk discreetly under the radar.
Yes.
So there's no escort, lights, siren, get out of my way.
You don't have all those.
In a nutshell, there's no, what's that word we used to use again? There's no, do you know who I am? How can you? Everybody is equal under the law. You drive above speed limits. Policeman does not need to disturb you. Take a CCTV camera for speed limits.
Yes,
would just send you your ticket straight. Your what's it called? We'll just send you
so
an
there's
SMS.
Less human fine. Interaction.
Yes, they. Like I said, if you've been to Estonia, if you've been to Israel, these are countries with little population, but they've decided to go digital, then you understand what I'm saying. So that's a country that has decided, okay, 1994, really the lowest of the lowest. There's no other thing we can do than to rise up, and they've been focused on it. Like, okay, you said something about Africans in East Africa. Almost there's a sizable Nigerian community in Rwanda. Sizable, I don't mean big, but
yeah.
And we all know each other. And everybody's school-headed. So meaning if you're a riffraff, you won't even, let me use Christianese, your spirit won't even be with the system because the system prefers people who are ready to follow the rules and regulations.
Is that inbuilt in their culture?
I started from the beginning.
You said so, culture. Yes. It's culture.
It's culture. Let me put it this way. If you've lived in the north,
yes,
northern Nigeria, or you lived in West Africa, that's the Fulani community in West Africa, you are pretty much saying the same thing. People who don't make noise, people who make their money and don't show off, don't do anything, people who love their cows. And I was telling someone some days ago, and I've met northerners from Nigeria who visited Rwanda, and they were like, these people, there are a lot of similarities between us and these people. So probably, historically, there must have been a migration from... I've not done research on it. There must have been a migration of Nigerians. I mean, West Africans, the Fulani speaking part of West Africa. You know, we have Fulanis in Ghana.
Yes,
there must have been
yes.
a migration of the Fulani West Africans to East Africa, Rwanda in particular, probably 700 years ago. Because the same way the Northerners love their cows, is the same thing there. They don't joke with their cows. Some of the crafts that you find in northern homes, if you have northern friends in Nigeria, is the same thing, almost the same. Similarities, mannerisms, idiosyncrasies, almost the same thing.
If I want to go on a vacation to Rwanda, which I will go, I plan to go.
You've been disturbing me via WhatsApp messages.
I will come. Yes, I will come. Baba Inshawu in your journey.
Okay, sir.
Which I will come. What exactly are the attractions that are there for me?
Okay, so I used to do, at first when I used to go there, I used to do all the tourism and everything. But now since I, so there are a lot of attractions. Okay, tourism, they are on top of their game when it comes to tourism.
Okay.
On the continent, they are on top of their game. Even when COVID was COVID, that was when the lockdown was really, yeah, really serious. The government and the appropriate parastatals, government agencies, they found a way to make sure tourism activities were not affected. In the sense that, this is where science comes in. In the sense that while other countries were, well, other African countries were just shutting down completely, Rwanda and people living in Rwanda were more following the science of COVID. Not the politics, the science of COVID. How many people are infected? Which area has the largest affected people? Going to tourism, they basically, let me put it in a nutshell, they basically ensured there was like, what's that word? There was a green tunnel. Let's use the word green tunnel.
Yes.
So that as a tourist, all the COVID preventions, precautions will be taken. A green tunnel from the airport to your hotel. Then if you are going to visit tourist sites outside Kigali, they ensured that people, tourists, did not actually go outside the green corridor. Yes, that's what I'm looking for, the green corridor. So when COVID was COVID, when it shut down pretty much almost all countries on the continent, they found a way to ensure tourism was still ongoing.
So what are the attractions? Wild reserves?
Oh, they do
zoos.
Zoos. When I say zoos, they have what they call them. I did this 2014-15. So they have different tour sites. Different tour sites. There's one called Akagira. Then they have some of the most interesting lodges on the continent. Some of the most interesting lodges on the continent. And obviously, I'm not going to mention names. And so that you won't pay the madam with the red... the madam downstairs.
That's the red car is red the car other side. The one downstairs that drives a black car.
Okay. you know the same. What I mean. So basically, they have what's it called? You asked the question. They have...
They have wild reserves. They have zoos. They have things like that.
You said something I was going to go to...
What could that have been?
That skipped my mind. So back to the question the lady asked, if I miss Nigeria, probably friends. Aside friends and family, aside that, nothing.
Have we lost you to Rwanda
we
now?
Thought, we thought I have noticed nothing. No, you have not.
Wasili. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes.
Good morning. I don't know.
Please go on. Just go on. Just greet us. Yeah, greet us.
Greet us.
Please, I want to know how much is their currency for our own. So those that want to go, who can start packing before the end of next year. There are women also.
Hey!
I just want to know, like, you understand, like, maybe are they like South Africans, like, you know, Ghanaian women, that kind of lifestyle? And are you married?
I do want to marry him.
What? One of them or a Nigerian?
What's your name?
Chief Lokwe.
Have you finished university?
Since.
Do you use a smartphone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on your smartphone. On your smartphone, there's something called Google. You can Google and check.
I've checked the currency.
So if you check the currency, why?
There are some times Google is not correct. Like Ghanaian cedis to Naira cedis, sometimes. You understand? So that's why I'm asking. Those living there can testify. So if you can tell me about the currency.
Okay, so to your,
I think that what's the let me help him out here. And these are questions we get generally, this side of town. What he means is that he wants to have an idea of the value that, you know, to say okay. that, okay, this is how
so, much. So I think I've only answered the first question because that was the most important question.
Not the one of the woman. It's important.
Doesn't make sense.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
Ah, Sherif. No,
why would you?
The guy who asked the question about the, what are the women like? He says it doesn't matter.
Why?
If he wants to relocate, he wants to know are they hostile to our men?
Is he a custodian of Ugandan women? Why ask him?
We are not talking Rwanda. We are talking Rwanda.
Rwandan women.
For making that mistake, I will not answer you.
I've been following you for a while, so I know how you operate. So to the third one, obviously, very irrelevant. For the first one, to the most important question.
Mm.
Last time I checked, I think to Naira, I think it is. It used to be 1 naira to. 1 naira to 2.5 Rwandan francs or 2.1 Rwandan francs. Mm. I think now it is 1 naira to 1.9 or 8 or something. I can't remember.
Okay. All right. I mean, like you said, you really, if you're interested in going
you,
there.
You do your research.
You do your research, basically.
Yeah.
Let me pick another call there. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning, ma.
It's like you didn't groom your guest well before he came on air. Why would he be talking down on people who are asking innocent questions?
Yeah, I apologize.
That's a bit rude.
I apologize.
So strung up?
I apologize.
They're asking questions because they want to know.
I apologize.
That's very, very unfair of him. Very unfair.
I apologize.
It's unlike your program. I don't enjoy this at all.
I apologize. Let's take the next question. Next. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Who's on the line?
Yeah, thank you. Kujimi?
Yes.
You know, I've been have this thing for Ghana women, but hearing this man explanation this morning, I think I want to change my mind to Rwanda.
Okay, all right.
Way can help.
Go buy yourself a ticket. Okay, let's take the last question for today. Hello, good morning. Morning. Hello, good morning. Okay, let me get the last one. Hello, morning.
Hello, morning.
Yes.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning.
Morning, sir. Thanks for the program, and just want to wish you a very great day and greet your guests over there, too. My name is Peter from Ipaja.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes. I'm planning to go to Rwanda on Monday.
On Monday?
From the office. Yes, this very Monday.
Yes.
Yes, from the office, about 32, we visited Rwanda.
Yes.
Next week, Monday.
Yes.
And it's so interesting to hear some of the things he's been explaining on the radio. And I'm happy to say, okay, yes, I'm set for the trip.
Yes.
I'm elated and I'm interested to go. And thank you very much for the call. Thank you.
As they say in their language, Murakazaneza, that's
welcome. What does that mean?
Welcome.
Welcome. Yeah. Okay, that's where we draw the curtains today. Thank you very much, Zola.
Thank you very much, Zola.
And for those, every you see, for writers, and he's also a journalist and a writer, everybody has his own style. I don't think he meant any disrespect to you, but if you felt that way, I do apologize. Okay, we all can't have the same kind of behavior. That's not the way it is. So we'll be back again. Thank you very much, Zolapo.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we'll be back again tomorrow. Like I said, tomorrow we will have... who did I say we'll have tomorrow? Tomorrow we're going to have Mrs. Esme Milajaja, and we're going to talk about the dynamics of the food business in Nigeria, or in Lagos, especially today. It's taking a completely new turn. And I think she more than qualifies for this, because apart from running two restaurants full-time, she also does the online thingy, online business. And just yesterday she was telling me she might even be doing a 24-hour business thingy. So she'll be here tomorrow to give tips on the new dynamics and explain. And then on Saturday, we are going to have Kunle Uthman. Mr. Kunle Uthman. I almost said Mr. Kunle Uthman Esquire. Then I remember that, no, once you use Mr., you don't use Esquire. Mm. So Kunle Uthman Esquire will be here, and we're going to be looking at, okay, so now we have the NSAS report, we have the white paper, what next? He's a lawyer, and he'll be able to tell us what we should look forward to next. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask the handlers of the governor of Lagos to go to YouTube and play back what I said this morning at 7:30, trying to raise people against each other, whether you are for or against the governor, it's not going to help anybody. Let sleeping dogs lie. I'd like to thank everybody. Thank you again, Dalakwa. Thank you, Oga Sharif.
Yes, sir.
How do you cope with Uncle Jim?
Ah, it's grace of God.
And I'd also like to thank Precious for at least if anything I've done in the studio with her pretty face. We'll be back. And Philip, of course, always hiding behind the pillar.
This Philip.
That's Philip, yes. That's Philip. Yeah, everyone knows Philip. So we'll be back again tomorrow at 9. Don't go away. The Techers will be here any minute from now. Take care too, as usual. I don't know why they don't that just break the chain to bust my bubble. But Take care 2 always comes in first. Then at the time Take care 2 is sitting down, Take care 1 is rushing through the gate. And then Take care 3, who is everybody's favorite, is kept at home crying for his mommy. I'll see you tomorrow at 9. Bye.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3